The Geek Cave, brought to you by BuzzTime. Great minds drink alike. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, O searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden... So get ready, O searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base. I'm Kent Harris. And here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad. And don't believe a word we say, for we are recording on April 1st.
Oh, son of a bitch. Well, that explains a lot about my news feed this morning.
I'm about to say, I hope you did your research beforehand.
I did, but yep. Still.
He was so excited, he saw that Matt Damon was going to be Darkseid.
I really was. I mean, the fact that they were going to have Arnold do the voiceover later, you know, Schwarzenegger do the voiceover was great, but the motion capture, totally Matt Damon.
Matt Darkseid.
Oh, yeah. The one that showed up number two on my feed today was Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to be in Undercover Granny. A grizzled old cop needs to go undercover, and so, you know, does the Mrs. Doubtfire route and goes undercover as an 85-year-old lady in a nursing home, and discovers that they're actually using the old people as drug mules. And I'm like, that is genius.
I want to see that.
And then it went into such detail as the idea that, oh, and by the way, Arnold Schwarzenegger has decided to go method acting on this, and he has mastered, you know, rambling stories that go nowhere and smelling just a little bit of wee. So, believe our reviews and most of our news.
Oh, kids these days don't know how good they have it.
Did I ever tell you about my jumping frog?
I had to walk to school both uphill both ways in the snow 10 feet deep.
Oh, we're getting the look from Darren. We're getting the look from Darren.
I don't care.
Look away, man.
I had to kill a bear with my loose leaf notebook.
He must have been going to school in Wyoming.
Yeah. Oh. Comics. First, shout out to our sponsors, BuzzTime, Shirtosaurus, and GameStop, Power to the Players. I've forgotten the taglines for the other two. I'm trying to suppress my inner Arnold, so. but we do love all of our sponsors. Thank you for putting up with us. So this is the comic book segment. Who's got news? That's totally legit because we did our research before April 1st.
I do.
All right, Darren, go.
Okay, first of all, looking at Marvel, you know, one of my favorite books recently that Marvel has done is All New X-Men, bringing the characters from the 60s when the X-Men started to modern day and how they're dealing with the fact that they've kind of screwed everything up. So, you know, it's been a fun book, but Marvel is going to do another kind of revamp with the X-Men with Resurrection. Don't call it a reboot. And, you know, they were canceling all new X-Men, so we figured, okay, we knew eventually these characters were going to go back home and go back to the past, and everything would be restored. Here's the problem. Apparently, they did figure out a way in their last issue to go back to the past. But when they did, they ran into themselves, meaning that there's actually another group of X-Men now that have taken their place in the timeline, and they can't go back home. Oops.
Okay.
I blame Beast, because that's what all the X-Men books are doing. Also, we learned that Cyclops and Jean Grey will apparently never get together again. They kind of teased it in the issue, and then Jean stopped him and said, you know, we know where this road goes. I end up dead, you end up with Emma Frost, yada yada yada, let's not do it.
Good, because he doesn't deserve her.
That's true. She's
she is on, a treasure and should be cherished.
She's a treasure.
Not by that shitbag.
All right. Also,
that was beautiful, did you guys watch, Chad.
That was pretty good.
For those of you who can't see, Chad was, it was masterful.
Bobbing his head.
Yeah, it was.
To the tune of Bad Romance. It was good.
It seemed appropriate.
It did. Well played, sir. Well played.
Did either of you guys watch The Jetsons growing up?
Yep.
Yeah.
Jane, get me off this crazy thing, yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
Everyone kind of knows The Jetsons. Well, DC has been doing comics based on the old Hanna-Barbera properties, and they recently started a crossover with The Flintstones and Booster Gold, because why not?
Because, yeah. That makes total sense.
But they have a backup feature like some comics used to when we were growing up, where there'd be like the last four or five pages would be an entirely different story. And this one was showing off the Jetsons. Basically how, you know, how we got Rosie the robot. And it follows Judy Jetson visiting her dad's mom as she's about to die.
Oh,
and
God.
She's, you know, at the end of her life, and apparently in the future, they have the technology to put your memories and your consciousness inside a robot.
Oh, my God.
Isn't this and the plot of Get Out?
And you see where I'm going with this. Rosie, the robot, is George's mom. There you go.
I was hoping, beyond hope, that you were going to say that it was some weird crossover with the Batman comics. And
it's
that's
Martha
why
Wayne.
There was always Mr. J.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't explain why Rosie was always very formal around the Jetsons in terms of addressing them.
But yeah, that's Rosie the Robot's origin, according to DC Comics. It's George's dead mother.
Yeah, that really makes the future even more nightmarish.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, they have to live above the ground because of all the smog. And
I'm just thinking you'd never get away from your mother-in-law.
There's that, too.
What must be going through Jane's mind?
Every
day she wakes up, and there is her mother-in-law. Every day. And will outlive her.
I guess her only solace is that someday
she'll go and live with Elroy.
Right? Yeah. Or Judy. No.
It won't be Judy.
It'd be Elroy.
Judy will have to live with her mother-in-law. That's just what all mother-in-laws have to have. It has to happen. You live with your mother-in-law. And that's why Mr. Spacely, you know, is so cranky all the time. Oh, man.
I'm picturing Elroy in his 40s with a wife, a stuffed Astro, because they can't put a dog's consciousness in robots yet. So there's just this shrine to Astro that he weeps over every day. And Jane Bot.
Jumping back to Marvel briefly, Marvel has announced a series called Generations, which will run from June to September. And they're bringing back everybody.
Everybody.
Doesn't matter which character it is, who's dead. They're all coming back.
Cast of thousands.
All cast of thousands. Bruce Banner, Logan, Jean Grey, the original Jean Grey, all of them.
Uncle Ben?
Well, okay. Almost all of them.
Gwen Stacy?
Gwen Stacy was brought back. Yeah. She was brought back during Spider-Man the Clone Conspiracy.
Was it Red Arrow? What was the
different character
guy?
Arsenal.
Different comic
Speedy.
Universe.
Oh, that's different.
That's DC.
Company.
Yeah,
yeah. And Speedy's
who else
alive
doesn't
anyway.
You know doesn't get to come back? In an ironic twist, they're going to kill Aunt May
again.
Yeah, no, that would be great.
That's it. Her last appearance will be the last issue of Generations. She goes out, you know, covered in bullet wounds, holding two Tommy guns in her hands. You know, crumpled against an alley wall. It says Dead End above her. And, Peter Parker just reaching up in the sky and the full platoon, you know, down on his knees looking up, crane shot.
That's a great cover shot. It's a great cover shot. But I imagine something along the lines of Wolverine cradling her via Crisis on Infinite Earths, you know, the Superman Supergirl thing. Because in a
Except
major
Wolverine
plot
had
twist,
to kill her.
Logan had a tryst with Aunt May when she was younger. She is actually Peter's mother. Gave him up for adoption and somehow ended up back taking care of him with her new husband, Ben.
Well, clearly this is not going to happen.
You know, we have this weird power. We say stuff jokingly happens here on The Cave, and then it happens in real life, so...
Yeah, we've done it before.
Then how come we're not getting paid for any of these?
I don't know.
We've never...
But that would explain Peter's predisposition to mutating via the spider, because he's already got a bit of the mutant gene in him, because he's Logan's son.
God.
Okay.
All right. And finally, Superman, the new 52 one, is back. Kinda.
Boo!
I know. So, DC just wrapped up Superman Reborn in the pages of Action Comics. And, you know, after Rebirth, we've had two sets of Clark Kent walking around. We've got one Clark Kent that is seemingly powerless and is not Superman in any way, shape, or form. And we've got the Superman from before Flashpoint happened. Well, it turns out that the Clark Kent with no powers was actually Mr. Mitziets Pitlick. And he's been kind of keeping track of what whoever's behind Rebirth has been up to. You know, we keep hearing that there's going to be a crossover with the Watchmen, and it looks like Dr. Manhattan's been kind of screwing with everyone's timelines for some reason. So
he's bored.
So Mitziets Pitlick kidnaps John Kent, Clark and Lois's pre-Flashpoint Clark and Lois's son. This is getting hard to keep track of.
You need
already.
A chart.
I know. You need like a... I need a whiteboard and some markers. Anyway.
For those of you listening at home, Darren has now pulled out the whiteboard.
Anyway.
Theater of the mind.
Anyway, in Superman Reborn, he reveals to John that when Flashpoint...
Which he? Mitziets
Pitlick.
He?
Mitziets Pitlick, yeah. Mitziets Pitlick reveals to John that... When Flashpoint happened, Superman was split into two entities. The new 52 Superman, who has a red aura about him, and the pre-Flashpoint Superman, who has a blue aura about him.
Yeah, I can,
If anyone has ever read Superman during the 90s... Or even before, you know about Superman red and blue. So, Mitziets Pitlick decides, okay, this has gone on long enough. Pre-Flashpoint Superman doesn't belong here. He erases him and Lois from existence, and returning are new 52 Superman and Lois, who have no recollection whatsoever of their son because they didn't have a son. Here's where things get a little weird, if they weren't already. Superboy somehow manages to steal some of Mitziets Pitlick's power, reconjures up the essences of his parents, and shoots them into the bodies of New 52 Clark and Lois. So now you've got a Superman who's in his late 20s, early 30s again, and a Lois Lane who's about the same age, but they have not only all of the memories of New 52, but all of the memories of before Flashpoint. Essentially, the one true Superman in Lois Lane.
Okay.
Yeah. And apparently by doing this, now their history is unified, which means, yes, Superman died at one point. Yes, he was raised by the Kents. Yes, their son does exist. All of this stuff. Yes, the stupid, you know, cyborg Superman blows up Coast City thing happens. All of that. And it is now set in motion some events where other characters are starting to remember what life was like before Flashpoint, and yet still maintain their New 52 memories. It looks like John Kent may have inadvertently started fixing everything.
Good for him.
Yeah.
It's nice to see the young people being proactive with their life and the world around them.
But yeah, it basically means that now there's just one Superman, and New 52 did happen, but so did before New 52. And starting this month, since this is going up in April, you'll want to pick up Flash and Batman, because they're doing a crossover called The Button, which follows more of the Watchmen connection with Rebirth, and it's going to be pretty good. You should follow it.
Really, anyone hiding a button, those are the two you don't want looking for it.
Well, yeah, if you remember...
If you want it to stay hidden.
Yeah. A man who can literally search a room in 3 seconds, every inch of the room, or Batman.
And a man whose observational powers rival those of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if you remember DC Universe Rebirth, the one shot, when Wally West is able to reach back into our reality briefly, the first place he does it is the Batcave. And when he does that, he expels this little smiley face button that anyone who's read Watchmen instantly recognizes. So Bruce and Barry are on the case, and hopefully we'll get some big Rebirth revelations soon.
Oh,
that's all I got.
Fun. All right. Well, speaking of DC Comics, a lot of things have been coming back around again in terms of popularity or revivals or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. Do you remember a show called Freakazoid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was made by the same people who did Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain. You know, really funny show. It only lasted about 2 seasons, but it was so... It was really weird in its plot points and what it was very meta too. It broke the fourth wall. I don't know how many times.
Yeah, like a
we're talking Deadpool level fourth wall breaking.
Yeah,
without all the blood and gore and whatever. But it was a fantastic show. It was the characters were actually created by Bruce Timm and Paul Dini because they were still working on Batman the Animated Series, had ties to Warner Brothers. All the character designs were done by Bruce Timm. Well, it's now coming back in comic book form.
Really?
Written by Paul Dini, or at least the first, the story arc or whatever. I don't know much else about it at this time. It's going to be released through DC Comics because it's a Warner Brothers property. I think it's supposed to come out sometime next year, 2018.
Nice.
So, Super Teen Extraordinaire. Freakazoid.
Freakazoid.
Freakazoid. Freakazoid. Yeah. Runs around in underwear. Freakazoid. Freakazoid. Chad, you got anything?
I do. Well, sort of.
Well, sort of. All right.
It's it just has to do with Wonder Woman, so that's why I'm saying it.
Okay, that's fine.
It probably has more to do with the movies, but I didn't have anything else for comics, so I'm moving it over.
That's fair.
The DC Superheroes Lego. We like Lego.
We do.
It is one of the, the top three things coming out of Denmark that we really, really enjoy. They have revealed the Danish block form of Wonder Woman's villain, Ares. for the movie. And so we'll find a picture. We'll put it on the cave. But it looks like Ares, oddly enough. You know, kind of just glowy red eyes in the middle of a nothing face. I wanted him. I was so hoping it was going to be the dude from Xena.
Dude from Xena.
The guy who played Ares in Xena Warrior Princess.
Oh, I haven't seen that in so long. I don't remember.
He's hot. He's, you know, just kind of a, you know, big muscular dude. Kind of Kevin Sorbo-y without all the Hercules.
Ah.
You know, it's a good character. It's okay. Fun, interesting. I would have loved to have seen that. No, instead we get some new 52-ish, you know, looks like he stole Loki's helmet kind of guy. A little disappointing.
Oh.
And her jet, you can totally see it.
God damn it.
Boo.
Unless it's not her jet, but the other guy.
Steve Trevor's name.
Yeah, I'm not going to remember that.
The other guy. Wonder Dude. There's a Wonder Man, so we can't call him that, but Wonder Dude is totally... Wonder Woman and her male sidekick, Okay Lad. Well, if there's no more news to present...
Nope.
I believe I shall go on with my long box.
Oh, okay.
Yay!
Long box!
So, continuing in the vein of superhero pets, because why the hell not? I'm going to branch away from DC Comics for a moment. They have a plethora of superhero animals in which to discuss, and I will get to them in due time. All of them somehow related to Superman. And I don't just mean, oh, they're in the suit. I mean, they're probably actually related to Superman by blood in some fashion. I don't know.
At this point.
It gets weird. It gets weird. So I'm stepping over to Marvel, and today I'm going to discuss Lockjaw.
Lockjaw.
Yeah, not the condition that makes your jaw tighten up and you can't open your mouth. It's Lockjaw is basically a 4 or 5 foot tall bulldog. English bulldog.
Not what I was expecting. I was expecting you to say, like, a sewer-dwelling crocodile.
No. Big puppy. Big puppy.
Like like the Buster Bulldog from Sylvester and Tweety?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, just a big giant-ass bulldog who can teleport and has kind of quasi-psychic abilities. Lockjaw runs around with the Inhumans. Now, I'm going to give you it's like a two-for-one deal. I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of who the Inhumans are to kind of help things make sense. The Inhumans are... They're not mutants, per se. They're a different branch of Homo sapien. And I know that the mutants are a different branch as well, but this is like a secondary branch. During the Kree-Skull War millennia, you know, millions of years ago, the Kree had established a station on Uranus, because I'm not going for the, you know, the cheap joke here.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
$5 jokes only.
Yes. And they had discovered that there was sentient life on Earth that had the genetic potential to be kind of, well, messed with. So they did. They took some primitive Homo sapiens and produced genetically advanced Inhumans in order to kind of cultivate their own evolutionary thing and kind of make them weapons for their own tools, but that didn't quite go so well. Anyway, these branch of Inhumans evolved on their own, stayed hidden from the rest of the world, lived on an island, kind of developed their own society. And the stories that we see of them follow kind of the royal family, the king of the Inhumans, Black Bolt, and his wife Medusa, and their kind of inner circle, and their dog Lockjaw. So, yeah, Lockjaw is basically just this big slobbering bulldog that everyone loves. I've seen pictures of the new Ms. Marvel. What's her name?
Kamala Khan.
Not Carol Dant. What?
Kamala Khan.
Yeah, Kamala Khan. Just hugging him with glee every time she sees him, you know, just, you know, puppy, yeah. And then, you know, and dog looks happy to get hugs too, so. Lockjaw serves as a teleporter and escort to the royal family of the Inhumans. He's brought them to Earth many times, and their home of, I'm going to butcher this, Atlan, because I guess Atlantis.
The guy from Narnia?
Yes. Yes. They constantly have to move the city, their city slash island slash whatever, because people keep finding them. At one point, they were on the moon. Because why not? So he serves as like a teleporter to get them from one place to another. At one point, Medusa had been captured by the outside world, and he and Lockjaw helped them find her, and that's when they met up with the Fantastic Four, and then they're kind of presence was made known to the outside world. This is going to be kind of a sparse long box because there's not a lot on him. Just do yourself a favor and look up a picture of Lockjaw, and that makes everything better. He's just this big, happy, goofy-looking puppy with this weird tuning fork on his forehead. but one of the interesting things I did find out about Lockjaw, his appearances are sporadic, or it's not like they ever gave him really his own adventures. But in 2009, Marvel took a DC and made Lockjaw and the Pet Avengers.
Of course.
Teaming with Lockheed, Kitty Pryde's Purple Dragon, Red Wing, Falcon's Falcon, and Throg. Do you remember Throg?
No.
The frog Thor.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Thor was turned into a frog at one point, and with the help of other frogs, regained his human form. Well, this frog, Puddle Gulp is this frog's name in his alternate identity, found a sliver of Thor's hammer and used that to become Throg. I can't make this shit up. And
I don't know that I want you to.
Yeah. And the final member of this team, Miss Lion, Aunt May's kitty. So you've got at least three superpowered animals, one Falcon who hangs out with superheroes on a daily basis and is involved in their missions, and a pampered cat.
The cat is Batman.
Because why not?
Because
the
why
cat
not?
Is Batman. you know, Lockjaw has the ability to teleport. He's kind of psychokinetic. He can phase through any kind of dimensional energy barriers where other people are trapped. They don't seem to phase him. Also, he eats anything, like scraps of, you know, robots. He just eats them, and it doesn't seem to phase him. It's unclear if this is his main source of nutrients or not. he's appeared in various other versions. He's been on Earth-X, and he's made a couple appearances in Marvel Zombies, because why not? He was in the Ultimate Universe. He's appeared on Hulk, Agents of Smash, Ultimate Spider-Man, the new Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon. So, I mean, he's shown up here and there. He's just a good puppy.
Good puppy.
Good boy, yeah. Big slobbering horse of a dog, yes.
I'm going to be watching two good boys.
So I know this was kind of a sparse long box, and I apologize. Some super pets aren't going to have as much information as, say, my 20-minute review of Crypto. But let's face it, Crypto did a lot of weird shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I will probably switch back over to DC next month and probably do one of the other super pets so it's more substantial.
When are we getting Comet?
Comet will be the last one that I do.
Okay.
When I've decided I've had enough, I will do Comet. Or I've run out of other pets to make something worthwhile out of.
That's fair.
That sounded like I was making something out of them, like I was taxidermy. I apologize. That was not my intention. I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, fine, but I don't want my dead pet looking at me from the foot of my bed. My wife would make me keep it in a closet, and I'd feel bad for the dog. Anyway, so that's it for comics. Don't forget.
The competition?
Yeah, I know. I was getting to that.
Making sure.
Chad just handed me a note that just said, don't forget. I'm like, that's a broad range of subjects, my friend.
Anything.
Anything.
Ever.
Oh, shit. So.
All right, what wasn't I supposed to forget? I need to go back to tying things on my fingers.
I stopped doing that because I was
I'm married. That's what that ring's for.
It's either that or I'm on a quest to Mordor. I can't decide which.
I don't know. You can see me. So.
Well, that's true. But I'm also wearing one, so what does that mean?
One of us ought to be able to control the other, I think.
Wonder husband powers activate.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
So yeah, as Chad was reminding me to not forget, this month we have a competition.
We do.
We are going to explain all the details and the rules at the end of the movie segment. So do yourself a favor. Go ahead and download the gaming segment because, you know, Darren needs the ego boost. But definitely download the movie segment, which is always a fun ride.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, we'll go over everything you need to know about this competition.
All right.
So, all right. Again, want to give a shout out to our sponsors, BuzzTime, Shirtosaurus, and GameStop. That's been the comic segment. Thanks for listening. Download the other two. We got gaming coming up. Darren's got some great news about the Switch, I think. Chad's got a movie review. I watched it with him. I don't know if it's... I can't decide if it's good or not, but he's got a movie review. So, all right. That's it for comics. See you in the next segment.